So, before we begin, we humbly request the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, and particularly His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj, His kind mercy and empowerment, so we can take this opportunity in sharing from the wonderful nectar of instruction given by Srila Rupa Goswami for the benefit of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Just get to my notes and then we can begin. Okay. So we'll just we'll read the verse and then we'll just begin with Mangal Chan and take it from there. So the verse is on the board. So I think we'll chant the verse together, and then we can begin our discussion on this wonderful transcendental text. So please repeat after me. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. Jiva vegam udarapasta vegam. Etam vegan yovisha heta dira. Savam apimam privivim shashichyat. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam. Jiva vegam udarapasta vegam. Etam vegan yo vishaheta dira. Savam apimam privivim shashichyat. To chant. Yeah? Okay. No problem. So the is best to do word for word or go straight to the translation? Okay. So the translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Okay. So in introduction, we should say that we're very, very blessed to be able to come together to discuss such transcendental literature. When I was reading through this particular section of the Nectar of Instruction, so many things really, really stood out. And what we hope to do in this discussion is to really try to bring out more and more these transcendental secrets for spiritual advancement. Every one of us have a real and deep need to experience higher states of consciousness and higher states of fulfillment. And what is being given through the texts of the Upadeshamrita are the practical secrets, the practical behaviors, the practical application, which will open new chapters in our devotional service. This is a very, very, very powerful text. And within the purport in particular, Prabhupada not only addresses us as individual devotees, but he is also indicating how this transcendental literature is practically beneficial in solving various problems in the world. And these keys, if they are utilized by us as Vaishnavas, there will be the means by which we will turn a chapter in our Krishna consciousness. I was actually meditating this morning and just a little bit yesterday evening on how to make a shift, especially for devotees. Because sometimes we've come so often to a class and we've heard so many things, as Maharaj said. Sometimes it can be an intense experience and there can be so many points which are brought up, and then people come, they hear, they forget, and you know, the situation just repeats itself. So we were thinking, what can make a difference? And one idea was that we really hone in on the practical application. One other point I'll make on this is that we want to, let me put it a different way. I was observing one devotee in London. And myself and others, we had some realization about this person. And we realized that because of the behavior of this particular devotee, his consciousness becomes like a fertile soil for spiritual advancement. And what was that behavior? What I was writing down this morning was one of the statements that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made about Srila Prabhupada. He said, that regarding Srila Prabhupada, he says, I have noted him, he likes to hear. He likes to hear. And this devotee that we were considering, this devotee who's based in London, we were considering how one of the aspects of his behavior which indicated that he has the ability to really take this teaching far and to really imbibe it was, one, his attentiveness. That means his ability to try and really focus in on what's being said and also to think about it. Not just hear, but hear and contemplate. Try to understand what's being said. The second factor we noticed about this person was his readiness, his enthusiasm to take part. And that is to make an enthusiastic endeavor to inquire. If there's exercises, to engage in the exercises. To listen and to think, how does this apply in my life? What will I practically do to follow the instructions of these Nitya Siddha Vaishnavas such as Srila Rupa Goswami? And I was thinking that these factors are the factors that are often missing in my own behavior. Where I let my mind wander, and therefore I don't connect with the teaching as strongly. And I forget that this is a direct and live transmission from the spiritual platform. That whenever we're reading Prabhupada's books, we are receiving a live and direct transmission from the spiritual platform. And I was thinking about something my spiritual master said. He said in the class, the last class he gave in Mayapur, he said that he preaches to convince and to transform. And I was thinking that I could try in this seminar to make some small attempt in the same way. So this is more than just the sharing of information. There's a science to how we hear so that we can imbibe and we can change. Does that make sense? And so we're hoping to practice in this dynamic, but it's something that requires your assistance. It requires attention. It requires us to be enthusiastically involved in the literature. Right? It requires us to try and think and to be honest with our inquiry. Of course, I don't know much, but we're very lucky as Chandra Mullin Maharaj is here. So whatever questions that come, you'll have much more realization and experience. But I genuinely mean this. We have short time. 2 days ago, when I was coming on public transport in London, I saw some people reading a newspaper, this free newspaper. And the picture in the newspaper caught my eye because I recognized the person. There was a photograph of one young man who I recognized. And I recognized him because we had studied together at the same educational place. So I wondered, why is he in this newspaper? Why is there a picture of him and his family in this newspaper? And when I looked closer, I found that the reason why there was a picture of this young man in the newspaper with his family is because he had committed suicide. Right? He had committed suicide. He jumped in front of a train. And I'd met this young man at the manor. We had one of our main temples in the UK. I met this man. He was a Hindu young man, Indian man. I'd met him at the manor a few years ago. We'd been at uni together, and I saw him at the manor. And I was like, oh, so you come to the temple? He said, yeah, we hadn't seen each other for a long time. And it kind of helped me to understand this statement by Chanakya, that the time we have is very short. Any amount of time lost can never be bought back by millions of gold coins. So therefore, how precious this entire retreat is for every single one of us. And our time discussing and contemplating the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. So help me to understand that my time is short. And help me to understand that we want to try and share this in a way that people will take it and that we will use it. So I'm requesting a commitment from all of you that there's so much to share in this text. But whatever inspires you, that you will take it and you will use it. As His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj pointed out once, he said in our movement, the trouble is that we don't imbibe the teachings. Apart from some rare souls, you'll find so many of us, we hear so much and apply so little. And then in our confusion, because the mind is very strong, we will start to question the teachings and the process rather than questioning our application. What we will see more and more, ladies and gentlemen, is that the magic of Krishna consciousness is the magic of application. And that's why we're fortunate, because here we're being taught how to apply it. And you'll see so many wonderful points about application. It is not enough to hear, it has to be lived. We have to begin to live the teachings more and more. And as we see in the lives of exalted personalities, the magic will come also, not only when we live the teachings more and more, but when we do it more and more expertly, with a specific mood or attitude of dependence upon Krishna. We will make the endeavor, and we will be beggars who are constantly begging the Lord, I know my endeavor is deficient in so many ways, but I'm simply trying to get your attention so that you will be pleased with my service and that you will, by your mercy, bring me to you. As Maharaj pointed out, and I also looked again this morning, in the preface to this book, the same point is made that Maharaj made yesterday about the attitude. Let's see if I can find the exact statement. Anyway, we'll maybe come back to that. But it's made in the preface that the attitude is everything. Our attitude, ladies and gentlemen, is everything. So it's so subtle, so simple, and yet at the same time so profound. So we encourage you in a few things. One, let's pay attention, let's tune into each other, or more specifically, let's tune into the statements of these Nitya Siddhas, Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, who are both present right now in the statements in this book. Second, let us take note of the points, the powerful points that they are making. Let us fully and enthusiastically engage in our Krishna conscious endeavors. I know Maharaj will speak in the third verse about the six things which are favorable to devotional service, and enthusiasm is right up there. But just as a little precursor, let us enthusiastically engage. Because sometimes our movement is full of half-hearted devotees. What is it to give our hearts? To give our hearts means to give our full attention and our full engagement in an activity. And Krishna wants to reciprocate. So this is yayatamam prapadyante. If we're ready to give ourselves fully, and it's a practice that we can perform at every moment, then we have the chance of experiencing more and more of Krishna's mercy and reciprocation. Our mood should be that we cannot live another day without somehow becoming closer to Krishna. And I know that by the inspiration of great personalities, this is possible. I have, Maharaj suggested I also read Bhakti Loka by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he talks about confidence. He actually he elaborates on different points that are favorable. And he explains that this confidence, we should be confident of success. Not actually because of our endeavor, but because if we sincerely want it, then the Lord is ready to give us all success. And what is all success? Krishna will give himself. And so through the pages of Upadeshamrita, we are meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does that make sense? Okay. And with that mentality in mind, so I repeat, attention, wholehearted, enthusiastic engagement. And the mood or the thinking of how will I sincerely use what I'm hearing, use what is being prescribed in my life. How will I do this practically? To show Krishna I'm sincerely wanting to know you. To show Panchatattva that I sincerely want to be your servant. Jai Shushi Panchatattva ki jai. Okay. So we may, let's see how we inspired, also make this interactive in terms of giving some exercises like that. And we encourage you to take part wholeheartedly. As wholehearted as you can be, as honest as you can be, as much the transcendental transmission can enter into our hearts and change us. Yeah? And we want to have this mentality for life. Okay? We want to have this mentality for life. We want to be transformed by the teachings. We no longer want to just read and forget. We want to be transformed by the words of these great devotees, knowing that every single syllable is being transmitted from the spiritual platform. Is that okay? Can we have your agreement that we will enter into this discussion in this mood? Is that okay? Okay. Okay. So with your blessings, we will begin. So the translation is a very wonderful but succinct point, packed full of extremely powerful things that we need to do. And I repeat that. Krishna consciousness isn't so much an option. We need to actually become more and more like these teachings. Maharaj explained very nicely in one verse I recall, there is no point of neutrality. If we are not coming under the spiritual energy more, then we are coming under more of the material influence. But the spiritual energy is the most attractive. The truth is that we're not moving forward in the way that we could because we don't really understand what we have before us in terms of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is like a hidden empire. It's not just one or two things. It's an entire universe of living spiritual personalities, realizations, insights, whereby our entire experience of life is transformed, not just because of the philosophy, but because of the experience that we have opened our hearts up to. Does that make sense? Yeah? So, we are missing out. Right now, we are missing out. And the only reason why we're interested in the material energy is because we're familiar with the mundane. So we think that this is all that's available, but these books are meant to introduce us to personalities, experiences, and an entire lifestyle that is inconceivably greater than what we are experiencing now. And if we understand, you know what the funny thing is? If we understand about the spiritual platform, we'd run there. We don't understand, so we think, for lack of understanding, I will dabble with the material energy. But if we simply take these teachings to heart, you'll get the keys to empowerment and experiences the likes of which we cannot even imagine. So these are meetings with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami, and all of their associates who are present with them through the pages of this book. And where does it begin? It begins with this statement. Even though we're talking about the first text, I'm going to read something from the preface because it's echoed in the first text as well. So we're not deviating from the point. So as Prabhupada says here, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. And Prabhupada goes on, unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. So this is also brought out in this first text because it's explaining about what has to be controlled and it gives us the insight into how to control. Ladies and gentlemen, the first point I want to share with you is actually a really, it's a somewhat unusual point. Most people do not even possess themselves. For the vast majority of people, they are slaves to the senses. So we have this term Godasa. Godasa means that actually in one sense, the senses tell you where to go. And therefore for most people, there is no question of their own destiny. For most people, there's no question of self-mastery, because this first point of life, of human existence, has not been understood. Our destiny, our endeavor, is to go back to the spiritual world. We have an aim and a purpose. But we want to surrender ourselves. To surrender ourselves, we have to have control of ourselves in order to give ourselves away to Krishna. So we first and foremost have to learn self-control. We are in danger. I'm not sure about you guys, I know for myself, I'm in danger. If I do not learn to control myself, practically every situation in existence is an enemy. Because by lacking self-control, any situation can just grab my senses and pull me away. Does that make sense? So we're in danger. First point is that we're in danger. Second point is we're in a state of enslavement. Because we don't have control of ourselves, we're slaves. Often it's not spoken about, but it's a fact. We are slaves. How often have you ended up in a situation that you did not want to be in? Isn't it? I don't know, but it happens to me every day. One situation after another that I did not want to be in. And I look back and it comes down to this one point. Lack of self-control. So there's no question of transcendence unless one is at least in control of oneself. So this is the platform that we are beginning on. And to be honest, unfortunately for many of us, if we were able to really rein in our minds and senses, that would be a huge paradigm shift. But it's meant to be the beginning. Does that make sense? We want you to contemplate these points. Just take a moment and think for yourself, how often have you gone into difficulties? And I mean painful, frustrating, embarrassing difficulties in your own life due to this lack of self-control. Even in the association of Vaishnavas, how many needless, painful conflicts? Because of lack of control. Lack of control of the mind, the senses, the anger. So many things, even tongue, belly, genitals, all of these things. How many times will we have to continue to go through these embarrassing situations before we will take to heart this one statement by Prabhupada? That we have to seriously begin to control ourselves. It is only if we understand this to be important, then we can talk about the science of how it's done. That's why I'm emphasizing it. If it's not important, we don't really do anything about it. I remember being in London. We were at a park with my spiritual master near the manor. And one devotee was there who had a tendency towards taking intoxication, drugs. And he asked Maharaj, he said, Maharaj, he asked about, how to, overcome things like this. And Maharaj explained some things, but he said something which is actually quite harsh and a little bit, sobering. He said, sometimes a person has to hit rock bottom before they change. Now, how painful is that? Do we want to be that individual who has to hit rock bottom before we change? Do we want to be that individual who has to suffer intensely before we understand that our life, ladies and gentlemen, our time is very, very short? We don't have time. We don't have time. Not that we're trying to make things a painful experience, but the point is that we want to speak in such a way that we will understand the need to change now. Is that okay? So forgive us if we're coming across in a little bit of a grave way, but we're just trying to find what words will connect with every one of us in this room, and myself included, that we will understand that we have to start to live this teaching now. First, we understand how important something is, and how much pain and suffering devotees throughout our movement, throughout decades, how much pain and suffering they've experienced by not controlling the senses. And then that inspires within us a need and a hunger to understand the science of controlling the senses. And what is that science? Prabhupada says some very wonderful things in this place. He begins in this purport with a question. A question that is asked by Maharaj Parikshit towards Sukadev Goswami. And it's a question about atonement. Atonement, the Sanskrit term is prayaschitta. And he makes a wonderful point, which is philosophical, practical, and has profound implications for the way that we live as individuals, and profound indications for the world. Never think this philosophy is impractical. And never think that this philosophy does not have serious implications for the society at large. What is being given in this one book, this world does not know. And due to a lack of this knowledge, people are suffering, including us. So what is he saying here? The question was, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? A simple question, but it's profound. Why is it profound? Because this relates to our cycle of suffering. And this gives a clue to how to get out of the cycle, how to break out of the cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, material existence is like a form of addiction. And we will also speak a little bit about psychology as according to Shastra in relation to this. We are in a form of addiction, addicted to the material energy, and we go round and round. As Prabhupada says at the right at the end of this particular verse in purport, he mentions chewing the chewed. And we'll explain how scientific that illustration is. But it's like a form of addiction. But we need to get out of this addiction. We need to get out of this samsara. This cycle that's dizzying, confusing, bewildering, and just miserable. So Parikshit Maharaj asks that point. Because he understands that if you can't control your senses, no matter what happens, you'll just repeat the same mistake again. Our habits are inside us. If we don't take the transcendental knowledge, if we don't apply it deeply in good association, we are doomed to repeat the same mistakes that others have made in the past and that we have made in the past again and again. We will remain slaves. When this term is used, chewing the chew, that comes from Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj uses that. Now what is not understood is that illustration, because these people who are giving us these teachings are so mind-blowingly, brilliant. They say something, when you look at it, think, okay, that's interesting. But when you read into it, you think, my God, that is a genius statement. What does chewing the chew mean? Chewing the chew means you put something in your mouth and you chew it. Initially you think it has flavor, but what happens? You have to work harder and harder and harder, and what's happening with the thing that you're chewing? It's becoming more and more tasteless. You understand the point? Chewing the chew means you're working harder for less. We've been caught in a trap. Someone is forcing us, the material energy is forcing us to work harder and harder and harder for less and less and less. So that's called slavery. Imagine that. You have a job. The first day, they're going to pay you £100 an hour. The next day, you're going to work twice as hard for half the pay. And then the next day, they're going to cut your pay again and you're going to work even harder, four times as hard. So you're doing more and you're actually getting less from it. And how will we break out? Prabhupada is also giving us the answer. He also gives us the answer. And he says, when an intelligent person hears from the law books and shastras or scriptures that stealing is not good and hears that the thief is punished when arrested, he refrains from theft. He says here, experience is gathered by hearing and seeing. And he will go on to explain a principle of accelerated learning. He will go on to explain that the most intelligent person captures just by hearing. There's a class that Srila Prabhupada gave, and he said that when you hear from the scriptures, it is actually the same as having the experience. It was a class Prabhupada gave on Bhagavad Gita. I think it was the first text number 2. But I can check that. But he explains in that class this point. We don't want to learn by our own harsh experience. Because actually, experience is also a bad teacher, to be honest. Because one can draw the wrong conclusions from any experience. So it's not enough to experience. We have to be able to evaluate and see the experience in good association through the eyes and through the lenses of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. And then you can learn in one experience what other people may not learn in a million lifetimes. So therefore the power of these teachings. When we look at this verse, it's talking about tolerating the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the action of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals. It's giving a prescription of what we need to do in order to become Goswami. In the sense of Go means senses, Swami means one who is a master of. And we want to have that control so that Krishna can do wonderful things through us as an instrument. Krishna will work through the devotee who is in control of his mind and senses. And as Maharaj said very wonderfully, the key principle of controlling the mind and senses is directing them and engaging them in the devotional service of the Lord. This is practical. This is very, very practical. And this is also a profound science. It's also a profound science. First, we have this principle that what do you direct your senses towards, right? The Krishna consciousness movement is so wonderful because it is the joyful, varied expression of loving service to the Lord through unlimited varieties of activity. Most people do not understand or are not aware of the joyful, celebratory nature of devotional life. We were in South Africa preaching recently. So they have a Rathyatra, it's a 4-day Rathyatra. 250,000 people over the 4 days. And as you watch the passers-by and new people come, they look amazed because they're amazed to see people singing and dancing in such joy. Because our culture is a celebration. We're even engaging the body through dancing. We're actually engaging the body through dancing. But this profound point about controlling the senses means that we can do all kinds of creative activities for Krishna. We're able to write for Krishna. We're able to preach for Krishna. We're constantly trying to think of new ways to share Krishna consciousness. How will they understand? Prabhupada writes us in his prayers. When he was coming here, he was saying, how would they understand this teaching? His conclusion was that, dear Lord, you only can make my power of speech such that it can penetrate their hearts so that they will understand. So what is that? Prabhupada turns himself, he's always there, but he's speaking in that sense, he's turning to the Lord, he's showing the example, and the Lord is using him as an instrument. So the principle is that we want to have life, a spiritual life on a higher level. So look at this point very carefully. How and to what degree are you engaging your mind and senses in Krishna's service? Let's do this analysis. Huh? Be honest. Think about this point. To what degree at the present moment in time are your mind and senses engaged and really focused in devotional life? And to what extent right now do you find that you find yourself becoming distracted? To what extent at this moment in our lives do we find ourselves becoming distracted by other things? Think about this point very carefully. The principle is to engage the mind and senses in the Lord's service. There is also a detail. Every single one of us are unique individuals. Every single one of us. Therefore, for every single one of us, there is also a unique combination of how much we engage the body, how much the body needs to be engaged, how much we need to really engage our intelligence. We should all read. But for some people, their intelligence is such that if they, you know, for some people they're more scholarly. See, if they don't read, it has much more of an effect upon them than for others. Because we have a unique combination relating to our psychophysical nature. So how much physical activity engagement do you need as a devotee? How much intellectual, spiritual, philosophical stimulation do you particularly as a devotee need? How much interaction on the social platform between Vaishnavas do you as a devotee? We do all of them. But you will have a unique combination. Are you optimally engaging your mind and senses in devotional service? So our first practical application is an exercise. It's a contemplative exercise to get you to think about the time in your spiritual life where you found that you were most fully connected in terms of your mind and senses in devotional service. Think about it. There have been times in your life, as Maharaj said yesterday, where you've been really absorbed, isn't it? There have been times when you felt you were just tasting the Krishna consciousness and you could not wait to, you know, engage in more activity. And your mind and senses, they were focused. Think about that. And try to think about the combination of engagement. What was the relationship like between you and the other devotees? Maybe you were really revealing your mind to one or two close friends and you were really discussing and exploring. What kind of association were you having? You found that you were around a certain type of devotee who was really enthusiastic or had a certain mood that you could relate to. How much were you hearing the teachings? You may have found at that particular time, I was reading the books every day. I was reading for an hour a day. I was making notes. I was giving a few classes and I found that that really worked for me. What is the combination? What is your unique combination for engagement that's going to allow you to begin this process deeply through a platform of self-mastery? Does that make sense? I'd like you to speak to someone close to you just for a couple of minutes and share with them, because we don't want to overload you with knowledge. We want to give you application. We're going to ask you to think about and beyond this seminar to try and bring about those elements, that level of engagement that absorbed you. That level of practice, or those elements, that way of practicing Krishna consciousness that really drew your mind in to Krishna and kept you enthralled in this exciting adventure that we call Krishna consciousness. Okay? We need to remain enthusiastic. Not remain, we need to increase. There's no point of neutrality. So our first point is to reconnect with that time when we found that we, our senses and mind, they were really together. I'll give you an example. I know for myself that if I don't read, my mind goes absolutely crazy. But if I read, because I try to study my nature, I see from my nature and my spiritual, when I got initiated, my spiritual master made a little joke. He said, Bhakta Eddie, he wants to know everything. Because he could see, I've got this kind of intelligence, I need to continually hear new things. to keep the intelligence like fed. And by the intelligence being fed, the mind is also more easily controlled. So it's about studying, but always learning new things, trying to understand things from a fresh angle. It's just the way my nature works. But if I do that, I can stay focused. What is the combination for you? How does your nature work to keep you engaged? So we stay connected to Krishna, and then we can move with him in lightning speed towards the spiritual platform. So we're going to give you just a couple of minutes, sit on, and please be honest. What works for you? I know another thing for me, that when Maharaj is leading kirtan, he'll engage me in dancing. I need to dance. Because dancing grounds me. Yeah, it helps to ground me. If I dance for the deities, it grounds my mind. And therefore the rest of my day works much better. So I've seen these things in myself. And we must become introspective as devotees. We're personalists. Every single one of us are transcendental personalists. So even though we take the principles and we all follow all the principles, it becomes so much more exciting because we live this life in a very personal way. Krishna consciousness is intimate. It is an intimate religion, an intimate transcendental lifestyle. So we follow everything, and also we are engaging personally with Krishna. Does that make sense? So we'll give you 2 minutes to just speak to someone that is close to you and share with them what your understanding and insights are. So we're not talking about not doing anything. We do everything. But look at how much you need that physical engagement in service. How much you need to engage your intelligence in service. How much you need to also interact with devotees. How do we do this so that we are gripped? We are enthralled and we are connected to Krishna so that he can now take us back home, back to Godhead. Give you 2 minutes for this exercise. Please be honest and open, enthusiastic, as we said, starting from now. 2 minutes. Speaking to someone close to you. Can I have your attention, please? Hare Krishna. So, following on from this exercise, I'll just add that Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam, and I think it's also in Nectar of Devotion, that the Ninefold Process, we can perform different activities in different modes. So what you'll find is that there are some things that you do in devotional life that you find you become more absorbed in. I know there's one devotee I know in London who they particularly get absorbed in their deity worship. So when they do their deity worship, it's a very, it really kind of draws their attention. For someone else, it's particularly absorbing when they have to work out how to preach, how to put together a seminar, how to share some kind of transcendental knowledge. For someone else, it can be a different thing. So we want to taste the nectar of our devotional lifestyle. And that comes by living your devotional lifestyle wisely. Under guidance, live your devotional lifestyle wisely. Live your devotional lifestyle in a way that you engage in devotional service, in a way that you will be absorbed. In the kirtan, in the service, in the study, do it in such a way that you become absorbed. Engage in those devotional services that you find really absorb you. And in that way, make some real and powerful moves forward, coming closer to Krishna. Let us continue with a few other points from this wonderful literature. Prabhupada writes in the purport to text 1, he says, a sinful activity cannot be counteracted by a pious activity. He says, thus real prayaschitta atonement is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. Now, he also says real atonement involves coming to real knowledge. Very, very interesting. In the example that Prabhupada is giving in the purport to this verse, he talks about prisoners, right? How a prisoner may do something, be punished, and then do the same thing again. And think about this in terms of worldly implications. What would happen in our societies, in the world, if in the prison system, when people were put in prison for committing some crime, they were also, it was also compulsory that they would be given mantra meditation. They would be given spiritual literature and told, okay, you should also study these literatures and regularly chant the names of Krishna and take prasadam. I know that Maharaj has a program where these things go on all around the world. And he's written about it. And it's profound, the effects on people. It's serious. This is what the society lacks. This is what the world lacks. The solutions of the world are superficial. And it's a big problem. Everyone suffers from superficiality. So in this verse, what is atonement means that it's like you have some weed above the ground. You chop the area above the ground off. But because it's the seed is still in the ground, because the tendency is still in the consciousness to commit that same mistake again, then it's actually a complete waste. Do you know that I think at least in London, for every single prisoner in the UK, it costs £50,000 to keep that individual in prison per year. What could this movement do with £50,000 per prisoner? Think about it. And the changes that we could make by implementing this program, which not only deals with the chastisement aspect, but actually ultimately removes the tendency that got the person in this situation in the first place. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are also prisoners. We may not be in the physical prison in the same way as the jail, but we are in the prison of certain tendencies that are holding us back from moving forward in Krishna consciousness. I don't know if I'm definitely in that situation. So the same prescription also works. Again, this statement, real atonement involves coming to real knowledge. And Prabhupada will go on to explain that the greatest control comes by being controlled by Krishna's representatives. He talks about tapasya, but he says if one is fortunate enough to have the association of pure devotees and to take their instructions, then things can really change. This is a secret here. Because we've been subjected to the material energy, we think that the superior experience is to try to be independent. Actually, the superior experience is to surrender and to become dependent. The more dependent you are as a devotee, actually, the more grace you receive and the easier it is to make spiritual advancement. By depending upon our authorities. Wisely. That means spiritual master. Depending sincerely on the order of the spiritual master actually is a lifeline through which grace descends. In the material world, there's this confusion. In the material world, people think that by being at the top, you get more. But actually, it's completely the other way around. The more you put yourself in a subordinate position, the more you actually receive. The more blessings, the more empowerment, the more knowledge. I have seen in my own life. I have seen practically in my own life. I can ask someone, you know, there's something I'm not sure about, or even I think I've got an idea or a solution to a certain problem. I ask the devotees, and I'm just amazed. I'm thinking, how is it that I didn't think of that answer? As Maharaj was explaining, through the association of devotees, Krishna will speak. And if we follow sincerely, we will receive that transmission through the association of sincere advanced Vaishnavas. So this is our second practical point. From now on, we want to encourage you that in all major decisions, as Maharaj said, we don't want to get into a trap that we then struggle to get out of. Prabhupada actually says in first canto of Bhagavatam, all major decisions should be confirmed by some authority. Again, think about this. How many times have we struggled in spiritual life by jumping out of the frying pan into the fire? Where we could have simply taken advice or guidance from advanced devotees. This is what I'm thinking to do, Maharaj. What do you think? Is this a good idea? And through their transcendental connection, and we'll come on to that in a moment, through their transcendental connection, you will receive Krishna's guidance as to what to do and what not to do. Huh? This is a real killer point, that many of us are struggling much more than we need to in life. And we think it's Krishna consciousness. No, it's your mind. There were unauthorized decisions that we took that got us into unauthorized difficulties that Krishna did not want you to be in. You did not have to be in that situation. It was not your karma to be in that situation. It's just because we followed the mind. Do you understand? So it's very, very powerful to understand this point. That if we want to taste the nectar of devotional life, and if we want to be able to say that each step was authorized by Krishna ultimately, we should act under guidance. Under the instruction of bona fide advanced devotees. Think about that point very, very carefully. We can do this. Excuse me. We can take our spiritual adventure to a higher level simply by starting to remember these points. No more false independence. You want to do something important, take guidance. You can't lose out, you can only gain. Take guidance in a wise way from the correct personalities. And at every step of the way, that will be an authorized activity and Krishna's mercy will follow. When the spiritual master gives an instruction, he also places some shakti, some potency there. And when you follow the instruction, you also receive that grace. So there are these drops of nectar which are placed strategically throughout our lives. And every time we follow the spiritual master's instruction, we also receive that grace. So we want to be nectar collectors. We're missing out on so much more credit than we know. We think I will do it myself. No, because our culture is all about pleasing the devotees, isn't it? Because our culture is all about love. Everyone wants relationship. Everyone is dying. They will give up billions of pounds, not millions, billions of pounds, just to be in the association of people who genuinely love, care for and support them. And that is what our communities are meant to be, as Maharaj said so nicely. And as I'm sure he'll elaborate on in terms of the six loving exchanges. Your money will never touch the needs of the soul. It won't touch it. And actually, you know what causes real envy in this world? Real envy comes when people see others who have deep spiritual relationships, deep loving bonds, and they become frustrated because they gave that up to try and gain money or fame, and they saw that it was completely tasteless. And then they look and they see, oh my God, these people have not got the things that I've been wasting my time trying to achieve, and they are profoundly more deeply happy than I am. Think about it. We need this. We want to take our spiritual life to a higher level. So the second point is to do things under authorization. All major decisions, this is what Prabhupada says in the purport in first canto. All major decisions should be confirmed by some authority. To get that blessing and that empowerment that transforms everything we do and means that every decision, every step we take is another meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does that make sense? Second point. We're trying to share some simple things, but they will make a profound difference. We're not even asking you to believe what we're saying. If you start doing this on a regular basis in your life, I will guarantee you that things, you will feel your life is a different life. You will feel your Krishna consciousness is a different Krishna consciousness. And you'll wonder, how the hell was I living before? Huh? Authorized, empowered instruction. That means your movements are empowered. If they are authorized by authority, they are empowered instructions. You're doing it under Krishna's blessings. That chit potency, the internal potency is following because you're following. How profound is that? So that's the second point. Let's move on and see a few other points that we can actually make here. So, we've talked about self-mastery. I'll add one other point about doing things under authority. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he did what his spiritual master asked him to do. Externally, you could think that what he was doing is absolutely crazy. You're coming to the West with no money. By yourself, you don't even know people in the West. You've got no facility, and you're going to start an international movement? Really? Really? But he knew that that spiritual potency would follow because he's following. Prabhupada's own god brothers said something very profound. They said that we all read in the Shastra that in every town, Lord Chaitanya's own statement, in every town, every village, this holy name will be chanted. But only your Srila Prabhupada actually had that deep faith that this would actually happen. Faith causes you to move, to do something. Prabhupada says faith comes by hearing. So we are lucky, ladies and gentlemen. We don't even have to have blind faith. We just start doing and we will experience. Isn't that amazing? So the only thing between us and the next level in Krishna consciousness is application. What he said in the books, now we do and we will see. You will see face to face that when you do these things, your life will change. How amazing is that? Huh? The nectar of instruction. The nectar of all instruction. Because these are potent things. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that we can miss it. You receive some very basic things. It seems basic, but basic does not mean lacking in profundity. Even the most simple things are unlimitedly profound. Huh? Engage yourself properly. Control your senses by always engaging them in Krishna's service. You know, however you need to do it, so it's coming to Krishna, you do it. Huh? Check your decisions with authority. Do things under guidance and you'll meet Krishna in every circumstance. Other points. Here, we're talking about the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals. Maharaj also touched upon this yesterday. So let's deal first with the tongue, belly, genitals. You see there's this line. Huh? The tongue will taste and it will also vibrate. So it's speaking and also tasting. In Ayurveda, there's a very wonderful point about what we eat. Just to kind of elaborate on what Prabhupada says. When you eat something, when you actually take some food into your system, a certain proportion of the food you take, the physical food, actually becomes your physical body, your gross body. But in Ayurveda, it's also explained that part of the food also becomes your subtle body. So when you eat something, part of the food you eat also becomes your mind. It actually becomes part of your subtle body. And in particular, that aspect is based upon the mentality of the person who cooked the food that you ate. So when Prabhupada says that you're taking on the mentality of the people that you've taken food from, people who've cooked the food you've taken, part of their meditation and their consciousness becomes part of your actual mind. Huh? Think about this point very carefully. So whatever you eat, you're also in a very real and scientific sense. It's not just a nice phrase. We're giving you the details so you understand how real it is. So if you take things by wicked-minded people, you actually are damaging your own mind. There's another point on this point about the mind. Let me just read you this from the preface as well, because this is very important. Let's see. This particular point. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Sattvagun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. What does that mean? It means that actually every statement in the Shastra is like a universe in itself. And with higher consciousness, so much more comes out. With higher consciousness, one statement, you look into it, it's like, it expands into something even greater. It's profound. It's profound. Spiritual teachings take a living entity from whatever mode they're in, through to higher modes, through higher modes, through to the mode of goodness, and from goodness to transcendence. But you pass through goodness. Therefore, one statement, just one statement in the preface, but Prabhupada says, one must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Sattvagun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami. It's amazing, isn't it? This is a point that devotees often forget. It is not that all devotional service is the same. Self-control is also a symptom of goodness. Someone who's self-controlled, able to focus their mind and senses, to deal nicely. These are symptoms of goodness. And we're practicing devotional service from the platform of goodness, ideally, so we can become to the platform of transcendence. We're not staying in the mode of goodness, but we're practicing devotional service from the platform of goodness to come to the platform of transcendence. And his teachings, as Prabhupada is indicating, is the means by which we can do this. And ladies and gentlemen, please always encourage each other. Help each other to understand with enthusiasm. Yes, every single one of us can do this. The love you give others follows you. It pursues you. The encouragement that you give to the other devotees, it is following you. It is coming after you. It is pursuing you. So we are either empowering and encouraging each other, or we are trying to pull each other down. And in this community, this ISKCON community, all that we have is each other. All that we have is each other. So we must make it a point to bring out the best in each other. And that is what it means. Even this tolerating the urge to speak, the mind's demands, actions of anger, we don't want to be focused so much on ourselves. We want to learn the science of our original nature. What do we do in the spiritual world? We are trying to serve the devotees. That is it. And Krishna is more pleased by that sincere rendering of service to his devotees than if you were to engage in devotion, so just directly thinking it's all about Krishna. So we have unlimited opportunities in this room to please the Lord by pleasing his devotees. Let us give our lives to that endeavor. And give ourselves or surrender to the sweetness of that. Isn't it a wonderful life where you can honestly touch, support, and encourage other people? Don't you yourself feel fulfilled when you've done that? So we can have an inventory. We can take inventory. Every single day, how much have I helped to bring about more Krishna consciousness in the world and in the life of the devotees? That would be explosively powerful. Prabhupada said in one place that if you take care of Krishna's devotees, Krishna will personally take care of you. It's so simple. But there's also a warning. And the warning is that the other thing is also true. If you decide to try to bring down Krishna's devotees, you will experience Krishna's intense correction. Intense correction. So the sweetness is also there with the warning. But we don't emphasize the negative as much as yesterday. We want to emphasize the positive, because what more is there to life? You find a billionaire and you offer that billionaire deep, loving connection with others in a way that that person will actually feel fulfilled in the deepest way, which means Krishna conscious fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment. Any intelligent person, they will give up everything for that. They will give up everything for that. This is the need of the soul. You can't change it. Huh? Inherent nature. Huh? So Prabhupada will sometimes quote Chanakya. Chanakya says, everything unnatural is an enemy. The more that you move away from the natural situation, from our inherent nature of loving service to Krishna's devotees and Krishna, to the extent that you move away, to that extent your life becomes complex and miserable. It's a fact. Prabhupada in this purport also speaks about simple living and higher thinking, right? That's why we're unhappy. We've made our lives remarkably complex. Materially complex, and we're struggling with the complexity.
Sometimes you put a block up, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get through that block. And sometimes you just back off.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely true. That is definitely true.
But the block sometimes is just strong, then you just pray to wait for an experience to happen, and then they become a little bit more receptive based on that experience.
Definitely. And that always happens. This is the thing about our teachings. Because Krishna consciousness is a fact and it's given by God Himself, whatever is explained in these books, it is true. No, it's not like maybe it's true for some. No, it's true. So if they don't accept what's given by God, it doesn't mean that they've got a different opinion and you have a different. No, it means that they're wrong. And it's only a question of time before they will have to come face to face with reality. But that can often be painful. That's why we made the point, better to learn by hearing. And that comes by humility and by practice. Faith breeds faith. Bhakti breeds bhakti. If you try and apply even just a few things in Prabhupada's books, you will see that they work. And because you see that they work, you'll become enthusiastic to apply more. Because then you'll think, my God, if I apply just one sentence and it's made such a big change in my life, what would happen if I apply the whole book? Yeah. But also by our own example, we can show people the right way. But I think sometimes people have to hit rock bottom. That's what my spiritual master said in one case. Sometimes. It's unfortunate. Before they learn. Because sometimes the situation basically breaks them or helps them to understand that, no, it doesn't work. Yeah. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Example. It's an unfortunate example.
Very unfortunate. A very painful example. Yeah. So we should try not to be in that situation. You know, it's hard. So anyone else have any questions? Okay. Can we pass the microphones allocate to Mataji, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. You said that all major decisions should be confirmed by authority.
Yes.
And you said that Srila Prabhupada has said this.
It's in first canto Bhagavatam, in the purport.
In the first canto?
Yes.
Could you give me a little more information?
I think it's... Do you remember?
I gave the example last night, if you remember.
Yeah, but I think she wants a reference.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking permission.
Yes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, yeah. But it's also, I think it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, also first canto, chapter 14, text number 12.
Thank you.
I can check for you. I think it's there.
Thank you.
The purport, he says that specifically as well. And there's so many examples. Yeah. I think there was a question at the back. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Varu. I have a question on this rock bottom situation that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that sometimes people have to really go rock bottom in order for them to progress.
No, in order for them to come to realize the point that's already given in Shastra.
Uh-huh. Could somebody not use this as an excuse that, I have material desires, let me just kind of go through it all, then I hit rock bottom, then I'll actually take up to the process?
Anyone can use anything as an excuse, you know, but it's foolish, you know. In other words, first of all, we're explaining this in this context. It's not that that's what you say to people when they want to be materialistic. But the point is that there's a science of how to engage people. We have to be expert in terms of how we engage others, and we have to be sincere in terms of how we try to hear and take guidance. It's like this. It's not so much, don't worry even too much about people's material thing. You should feel sorry for people who are not Krishna conscious. We actually have nothing, to envy other people of. It's like, oh, well, I want to do these things. That's their misfortune. The devotees have the most. So when someone says that, it's more like someone saying that they want to do something inferior. You know? You're trying to stop someone doing something inferior. Something inferior and harmful. Because there's something much greater that they are able to engage in. You know? So, I wouldn't even worry about people using it as an excuse or not. First and foremost, it won't work. Because reality is such that unless we become Krishna conscious, no one can be happy. Without Krishna consciousness, as Prahlad Maharaj says, no one can be happy. No one can be happy. The very thing that a materialistic person does can be the very thing that turns on them. Yeah? And you've seen that many times. People involve themselves in one activity. They think it looks like it's going to be wonderful. But the moment you come in contact with the material energy is vicious. She turns on you. So it was looking like one thing. It looks attractive. So you got involved. But the moment you got involved, it actually becomes something else. And you think, my God, how did I end up in this situation? Huh? So it's not a good thing to be in the first place. But if someone has that mentality that they think, let me do this first, give them engagement, positive engagement. You know? So emphasize how you can engage in this, you can do this, you can do that. Give them options and opportunities which are spiritual and knowledge. And they themselves, through knowledge and good association, will change because it's happened for all of us. Huh? Everyone, practically everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness had material pursuits. But through knowledge and through engagement in devotional service, they came to see that actually this is not going to get me the thing that I'm looking for. And therefore they changed, you know?
So after giving them knowledge and engagement and it doesn't work, then the conclusion is that
If you give them knowledge and engagement, it always works. It's just how quickly it will work. Huh? They're going to be purified, right? It will take time. Purification takes time. It will work. Even if they just take some prasadam, it's working. Huh? How quickly they become fully fledged pure devotees, that's between them and Krishna. But if they're engaged in devotional service, it always works. Devotional service is always, it always works. It's just a question of how quickly they manifest pure devotion. Yeah?
Thank you very much.
Okay. It always works. Is it okay to take more time? Okay, no worries. Okay, no problem. Yeah, I think we're well over. Sorry. Maybe we'll take more questions later on. So, Shri Rupa Deshamrita ki jai, Shri Rupa Goswami ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Janita Gopramanandi, Hari Hari Bol.